Now stay tuned for To Your Health on WPBC LP Charlottesville, the show where food is on the table and center stage. To Your Health is brought to you by Hamilton's at First and Main, celebrating 20 years of sustainable fine dining on the downtown mall. Now here's your host, MC Blair.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. There it is. Okay. I'm MC Blair. And we won't have as many technical difficulties as we've had in the past. I am sitting here with Courtney Evans of the PB&J Fund. She's been over there for a while. We're going to talk to her today. As a matter of fact, we'll just get right in there. Hi, Courtney. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing well. And how long have you been over there at PB&J?
Do you know, I've been there now since 2012, so okay. I guess about 5 years.
Yeah.
Previously volunteered, so about probably 7 years now total.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And we were talking earlier about prior to coming to the area again, you grew up here.
I did grow up here.
UVA.
UVA. Right. And then left for about, 5 years or so. In that time, went to culinary school and then came back in 2009. Mm-hmm. And just haven't left and have been involved with the food, local food here since that time.
That is great. And you were in Italy for a while.
I was. So let's see, it would have been fall of 2011. Mm-hmm. I spent about 3.5 months working on a organic farm. Mm. And everything was done by hand, and I worked in the garden and worked with the grapes for the wine and then the olives for the olive harvest for the oil, and it was just an amazing time there.
And so you got to see the old world, farming, local.
Yep. Local. Yeah. And definitely, I think, being in touch with the earth, with our hands, it was just special. Took me back to our roots for sure.
No Roundup?
No. I think it was lemon balm was how we treated pests.
That's great. Yeah. Now, I know I've read where, they would use like ladybugs and, all sorts of different natural, substances and other animals and snails and stuff like that that would really help keep the pest down and, get a decent yield on the harvest. And, of course, you're getting the best of the best.
For sure.
Whatever it is.
For sure.
That's great. Now, I noticed the mission, PB&J Fund, you're part of the Food Justice Network.
That is correct. We sure are.
16 organizations. And you connect Charlottesville youth with the resources and knowledge necessary to develop a healthy diet.
Correct.
That's awesome. And there's also another part to that. But let's say a parent or a kid hears the part about the healthy diet and says, well, I don't drink that many sodas and I never get fries at my local burger joint. So I must be on a healthy diet, right? So how do you deal with somebody who says that? I've heard people say that.
Yeah. And so I think our our goal really is to create choices and to empower kids to know how to cook and to know that there are options that are out there. And so we're constantly coming back to that. It's funny because we recently did a unit on it was a fast food makeover that we worked with the kids. And so we took different menu items that we felt would be really popular at fast food restaurants and then brought it to the kitchen and made them healthier. And so I remember one was a grilled ranch chicken sandwich where we obviously grilled the chicken. We made sweet potato fries with that where we roasted the sweet potatoes in the oven and had whole grain buns. And so I think we constantly come back to that message that there are healthy options out there.
Yeah, I think when the kids have that, they taste it and they go, this is really good.
And that they've made it and they realize that
absolutely.
It does taste really yummy. So
and that goes to the second portion of the mission, which is by working to develop a healthy diet by working with community partners to provide healthy meals and teach cooking habits. It aims to address kids' nutritional needs at each stage of development, which is great. Now, we had that kind of dovetails in a couple of weeks ago. We had a couple of gals here from UVA, Sybil Kranz and Maria Anna Maria Cigarese, and they are focusing their research on the healthy diet for the first 1,000 days of life.
Huh.
It was the first 3 years, so they're given that nice, strong platform, getting with the caregivers, and then, of course, they can just dovetail right into this when they get into the schools, and they're already aware, at least a little bit, you know, which is cool. That's really neat. So you mentioned Chef Kids. All right, so talk about that.
Chef Kids, so we are so lucky that we have wonderful partners, and so we work with, just to name a couple, for our Chef Kids program, the Boys and Girls Club of Central Virginia. Mm-hmm. We work with the Southwood Unit, Cherry Avenue, as well as Jack Jewett, as well as the City of Promise in the West Haven community. Big Brothers, Big Sisters, City Schoolyard Garden, Parks and Recreation.
Absolutely, we've had them on.
During the school year, we primarily focus on after-school programming. So kids will come to us after school is over, and then we will cook with them. So we focus, right now we're focusing on various units. So we did a fast food makeover unit, we did a Tex-Mex unit, and with the idea that we're creating recipes that are healthier, introducing whole grains, introducing fresh vegetables and fresh fruits, as well as cooking techniques to the kids. And really it's for their empowerment and for their enjoyment as well, too, to create a healthy meal. And we focus in on moderation as well. And so we allow for desserts, we cook desserts, but then teaching that those treats are in moderation as well. And then using My Plate as our reference too. So having half your plate fruits and vegetables, whole grains, milk, protein. Mm-hmm. It's fun. And the kids, I think they'll see what we're making and they won't be quite so sure about it until after they finish making it, and then all of a sudden they want to try it and taste it, and then we talk about how it tastes, and we offer their suggestions as well on what could we do to make the recipe better, and so they actually have a big say in what we cook and how we change the recipe.
And that is so important to, and that gives them, well, that's empowering them, just like you said, when they're opinion matters.
Yeah.
And so many households, I mean, I grew up in a household where my opinion mattered not, ever.
Yeah.
They didn't want to know what I thought, you know?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of other people that are raised that way. I think what you're doing is just amazing, you know, to that. And so you see, I guess you see a more improved school, what am I trying to say, academic achievement, you know, where kids might be lagging a little bit and they get into this program and all of a sudden they start feeling a little bit better. And then do you see that as well?
Absolutely. The confidence, I think, in the kitchen and seeing over time the confidence increasing is great. And their opinion really matters to us.
Yeah.
And I think the more that we see the same kids over and over again, then they expect, too, that we're going to maybe do yogurt instead of sour cream, or always do whole grain pasta instead of white pasta, and just to introduce the grains. And then they, I think, really start appreciating it and accepting it within their diet as well, too. So it's, I think, a give and take. They start trusting us, and then we just really just enjoy being with them and love their feedback. I learn from them for sure.
Absolutely. Do you hear feedback from the families, or at least the kids reporting back how now mom and dad or whoever the main caregiver is are starting to come around to that?
That's a great question. We heard, I remember one of our, we have instructors that teach for us out in the community at Boys and Girls Club, and one of our instructors came to us and said that his student had said at the grocery store, had asked his mom to buy broccoli, because he knew how to cook with broccoli, and we were so excited about that. And then in the summertime, we do summer camps where we work, we partner with the local food hub and do a summer tastings program where we select highlight a produce each week, and that produce item, whether or not it's tomatoes or cucumbers or peppers, is in every recipe. And I remember last year we were doing kale 1 week, and the kids wanted to take home bunches of kale, mm-hmm. Because they wanted to make kale chips at home. So we do have stories like that that just totally make our week, our year, actually, when we hear that. So.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, that's great. So that Chef Kids is really work. And just to let you guys know, Courtney was trained at Culinary Institute of America in New York City, one of the premier chef schools. So she knows what she's talking about when she's talking about cooking. And you were at Feast for a while, I believe, Kate Collier and
Eric Gertner, for about 2 years at the cafe there, and I mm-hmm. loved my time, and really was exposed to local foods through my work at Feast as well, too.
Oh, that's great. That's great. So you probably know Gail Hobbs Page from Caramon Farm.
Yeah. She's great.
I've been trying to get her on there. Gail, if you're listening, you've got to get over here. We're having too much fun. So tell me about Chef for a Day. This sounds really neat.
Chef for a Day. So Chef for a Day is primarily field trips that we'll bring to the kitchen. And it's really to have the kids introduced to what it would be like to cook in the kitchen, mm-hmm. Primarily younger elementary school kids. And actually preschool programs as well. We've worked with Bright Stars, and they come to the kitchen and prepare a recipe. Or actually on this past Monday, we had a buddy camp from Parks and Rec come, and they were in the kitchen, and we did different activities with them. They were younger, so we were banging like spoons together and scooping out oats, and we had a water station, so more kind of tactile things in the kitchen as well too. And it's just to give them a little taste so that when they're older, then potentially they could come back for a class, a weekly class or a monthly class too.
And they might have some future
chefs.
Stars. Yeah, absolutely.
Future chefs coming in.
By the time the ones that are here now, they're all leaving, then the new guys can just move right in.
It's so true.
Oh,
so it's kind of our hope, too, that it could continue as they get older.
And at the very least, at least when they get into college, they'll be able to, you know, handle themselves in a kitchen.
Yeah, absolutely.
And know about buying local and you know, no spray and all that sort of thing.
It's absolutely true. And then as part of actually our Chef for a Day, we'll do the summer sundown at Washington Park this summer. And that's where we'll, again, partnership with the local food hub and have produce from them as a station there. So handing away free produce for families. And then we'll also have a recipe as well as a spice packet to go along with one of the produce items that will be available for them to have. So that they'll know what to do with it, mm-hmm. too.
The spices are listed as to what they are, right?
Listed what they are.
Not the secret ingredient.
Not the secret ingredient. And then handed to them, too. And that's it. Because even coming out of culinary school, and there were still vegetables that I had no idea to cook with, like kohlrabi and very items that you find here locally. Mm-hmm. So I think part of it. So our work is to take the intimidation out of cooking vegetables, too, because I've certainly felt it still do at times. Mm-hmm. And so by providing a recipe and spice packet, it, I think, helps, too.
I remember the first time I was making a mango salsa, and I'd never...
How do you core mango?
Yeah, exactly. I've never done that.
It's hard.
Hey, wait a minute. That's a weird-looking seed.
Yeah, like, what do you do?
For those of you who don't know, it's a long, flat... semi-oval seed goes out, actually runs the whole length of the mango. And once you know it, it's easy. But getting it that first one, so it's that type of thing, I guess, what you're talking about.
Absolutely,
that is really neat. So what other? I know it says you have some other
Chef families.
Well, there's chef families. Okay, so what about chef families?
Yeah, chef families. That's a big part of our programming. Again, through partnerships, and all of our classes are free to the children and moms that come to the kitchen through partnerships. So with chef families, we partner with Ready Kids and then Young Lives as well. And we bring moms to the kitchen with Ready Kids. It's a part of their play group. And so the small children are in kind of our sitting area, and they do reading and play with different educational tools while we take the kids and cook with them, take the moms and cook with them in the kitchen, and dads too. And again, it's to teach nutrition and then also easy meals that can be completed at home. And then we also, then each family will take a bag of food home with them, including the recipe and all
great.
Of the ingredients. And we have a grocery store tour that we then go on to teach kind of the ins and out of shopping at a grocery store, and the importance of buying whole vegetables, and actually the cost can be less if you buy whole vegetables, such as carrots versus baby carrots, the importance of freezing chicken, for instance, if it's on sale. And so it's really, how do you cook well, do it when you're under a time crunch, for sure, but then also do it economically as well, too. So that's a big piece now. And as you mentioned, that if we can start with families, with moms, with their young children, and then continue that education piece for the children as they grow old, then it's really quite special for us, too.
Yeah, it brings the whole family in.
Yeah.
And then, of course, familiarizing them with the local pastured pork and poultry and that, which is more expensive on the front end. But if the family's on SNAP program, of course, they get double SNAP dollars to go to the city market. So all of a sudden, it's just as expensive or just as cheap, if you will, as going to Kroger and buying chicken. In fact, they're getting a local pasture chicken, which is good, you know, so...
And we've focused primarily on vegetables at this point with local foods, in partnership with the local food hub. And actually, one of the chef families programs that we just completed was called Fresh Pharmacy.
Tell me about that.
And that was a great program where the local food hub and us and Centara all partnered, and I might be for leaving out another partner organization in that, but the idea is that they would, families within Charlottesville would receive a bag of produce as kind of a prescription of Fresh Pharmacy. And then our role at PB&J was to teach a cooking class. We did a three-part series with these families so that they would know what to do with the produce in the bag. And then again, so each week they receive a bag of produce, and then when they would come to us, they would receive the bag of the recipe ingredients to be able to prepare it at home. And so it was a terrific collaboration there, and all local.
Yeah, food is medicine.
Food is medicine.
Absolutely.
And food is nourishment.
And, you know,
absolutely.
We had a whole show on that a while back with Amy Leeser, who's an LP. Nurse practitioner out at Forest Lakes Medical Center. And so we talked all about that, and she's had all sorts of classes in showing how food is medicine.
Yeah.
And like I used to tell people, you know, pay me now or pay your doctor later.
Yeah.
You know, you know, for eating real food.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing. So what about also with the chef family, you've got the holiday giving program.
So holiday giving, and that's a very large program, actually, that we do it around Christmas time for the holiday break. And what we do is we pack about, oh gosh, I think last year it was about 470 food bags. And for children in elementary schools that we work with the guidance counselors to see which children might be in need of a bag of food over the Christmas holidays. This is an amazing collaboration. Oh, I haven't mentioned volunteers for other classes, but I will. But an incredible collaboration with the local food hub, Kroger, Whole Foods, a whole bunch of various community partners that have just helped us in this. And we pack at the Boys and Girls Club Cherry Avenue all of these bags. It could be whole grain pastas. What else have we had in there? Applesauces, granola, onions, sweet potatoes, apples, dried cranberries, canned vegetable, just a whole bunch of different mm-hmm. things. And then we provide a recipe in there as well, too. And every ingredient found in the bag is a part of the recipe so that they can take it home with them, too. And then we deliver to various elementary schools. It was Greenbrier, Clark, Johnson, Jackson Via, Venable, Burnley Moran, and so that then the guidance counselors can distribute the food bags on Monday morning to the kids to take home over the
holidays.
That's
really great.
So it's just a really wonderful program that PB&J has done since the inception. Mm-hmm. It's great.
And
really
you get the reaction. I mean, in my mind's eye, I'm seeing these kids. You know, when the light comes on, you know, it's like,
yeah.
Oh, my. That's got to be nice.
Yeah. And I do actually want to mention our volunteers. It reminds me that we have incredible volunteers amongst all programs.
We'll catch up on the next segment. We've got to take a break here.
Oh, sure.
You guys
sounds
are
good.
Listening to Your Health right here at 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville, and Resistance Radio right here in Charlottesville. I'm MC Blair, and we will be back shortly. All right, we're back. I'm MC Blair. I'm talking with Courtney Evans from the PB&J Fund, one of the great organizations underneath the umbrella of the Food Justice Network here in Charlottesville, doing some wonderful things. And you were just going to mention some volunteers.
Volunteers, yeah. We have amazing volunteers crossing all programs from Chef Kids, Chef Families, Holiday Giving, Chef for a Day. And we really couldn't function without them. And they're really our support, for one, to help maintain safety in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And then also to work with the students in the classes so that it's more of not a one-on-one, but definitely more attention to all of the students in the class. And they're our eyes and ears and really just help us throughout so much.
Well, that's great. So, how does one, let you know they would like to volunteer?
Absolutely. So we have our volunteer coordinator, Tracy, and she's wonderful. And you can contact her via our website, which mm-hmm. is currently, we are redoing our website, and calling PB&J as well. And I don't have that number off the
no
top
problem,
of my head.
No problem. We'll get that in a minute.
But we're always looking for volunteers.
Okay.
For sure.
They would talk to Tracy then and let them know. And what kind of commitments generally do you have? Do you have like different levels of commitment or?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And so we have some classes that are weekly classes, and it mm-hmm. would be a weekly commitment. We love the consistency of volunteers. And so if you do sign up for a weekly class for it could be a semester during the fall or 6 weeks during the summer, that we do ask that you try to come to every class. But if that is too much of a commitment, then we also have monthly classes that you can do, such as Big Brothers, Big Sisters. Mm-hmm. And then also holiday giving, if it's just once a semester, or the summer sundown, just twice a summer. Then, so we have definitely different levels of volunteerships that we would love to continue to increase our volunteer
base. Yeah, and so let me get this right. The classes you're speaking of, that's training the volunteers?
No. So that's actually, we do have a volunteer training at the start
okay.
of each semester.
I see. Okay.
But then, so if we had, say, a Monday class with the Boys and Girls Club for about an hour and a half every single week, then we would expect that our volunteer would be able to commit to that one class once a week for the duration of the semester or for the
and they would
weeks.
After the training, then they would know what
they would know what to
doing.
Do.
Yeah,
yes,
exactly.
Absolutely.
Okay,
so they do go through a thorough training. For
oh, that's
sure.
great. How long does that last? The training?
About I would say an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's not bad at all. Oh, wow.
And so Annette's either at the beginning of the semester or the summer, or it might be that it would be right before the start of the first class as well, too. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Good, good. Because I'm thinking about volunteering.
Please, so we would love it. Know. No, we would love
that's
it.
That's why I wanted to know all this information. So, wow, that's really neat. You know, I saw something from Paul Beyer of TomTom Founders Festival.
Yeah.
I know he works, guys, with you guys and all the organizations under the Food Justice Network. And he was talking about the. It was actually while he was running. He didn't win the election, but he was running. And they asked him about the issue of poverty in town. And we do have some of that. You know, it's not a great deal, but we certainly have a lot. And he said we focus on education as the solution, but education can only succeed if the kids have hope for the future and feel they're learning what they're learning in school is relevant to their success. That's what you do.
Yeah. And I think empowerment is so important in that. And I think for the kids that we work with, they are just incredible kids. And we hope that through cooking that they do feel empowered. They're gaining knowledge and skill sets. They have a voice in the classes. And to show that their future is absolutely bright for all of us,
yeah,
too.
That's awesome.
And that we're all in our community together. So it is, I think, you know, it's funny with food and with cooking is that food is such a part of our life. It has to be for us to live. And so I think that by being able to teach cooking, it really is instilling a skill that we can't not live without.
Oh, absolutely.
So I think particularly for kids.
Giving kids a voice.
Yeah.
That's like awesome, you know, because they're so small at first, you know, and then they're not used to that. And people are like, well, get away, kid, you know.
I cut carrots now differently because a child taught me the safest way to cut a carrot. And so that's how I cut my carrot now. So,
how's that?
We teach in the kitchen. It's, again, safety is a huge issue. And so when we're using knives, that we try to get the vegetable flat.
Absolutely.
And so when you have more control when the vegetable's flat. Mm-hmm. But carrots are just so thick that they're hard to get through. And so I used to cut a carrot. Well, you'd cut it into kind of three pieces to make it shorter and then cut it down the center. And there was a child that said, well, instead of cutting it down the center, let's just shave a little piece off the side.
And
that creates the flat surface. And then flip it. And it's a much safer way. I had another child who peeled it to make it flatter.
Mm-hmm.
And so didn't even have to use the knife and before making it flat. So we are constantly learning through the kids.
That's how I do my onion.
Like
if I got to do slices on an onion, I just make a little flat spot and flip it over, and now it's flat, and it can just go right through there. Works really well.
The flat is the way to go, for sure, for us at all, for everybody.
It is. You know, it really works. Well, you guys are listening to Your Health. I'm MC Blair. We're talking with Courtney Evans of the PB&J Fund right here at 94.7 WPVC. So tell me about working with City Schoolyard Gardens. That's got to be exciting.
We love the City Schoolyard Garden. And we're actually right in the midst of our biggest program with them this summer. And that is our garden to table class, where we spend an hour and a half in the garden with kids either from Parks and Recreation or the Boys and Girls Club and do various activities in the garden and then harvest the vegetables and take those vegetables back to the kitchen and then cook with the vegetables. And it's just an amazing program. We had the class on our first class on Wednesday and we harvested kale and then came back and made a kale pesto and the kids loved it. And to see, and I think what's so important for us in this class is for the kids to see their food from start to finish. And I'll never forget last year, one of the activities in the garden that CSG that they do, which is fun, is we do a scavenger hunt and we look for the different leaves. We have a leaf in a bag and then we have to go find that leaf in the garden. And one of the leaves were from carrots. And so one of the kids came and they found the carrot leaf. And then Emily at the from the schoolyard garden and said, okay, now pull those leaves. And so the child pulled the leaves and out came these carrots. And it was just the look on her face of like, oh, it's a carrot. Amazing. And so it's just beautiful to see. And so to connect, I think, to the entire cycle of the food. And so then when kids and families, when we all go to the grocery store, when we see carrots, we see kale, then we know exactly where it's coming from. And then I think it means so much more, too, when we're eating it. With the kale chips, that tends to be a tradition that we do in this class, and the kids just love the kale chips.
That's so good for you.
So good for you. And we talk about the texture of the leaves, so the texture of the kale in the garden, and then how that changes in a pesto, or how that changes when you bake them in the oven. And so it's a wonderful, wonderful class. We love partnering with the garden in that,
too.
So
do you dry the kale, or do you actually bake it?
We bake it. We take it back, and then we rinse it off, of course, mm-hmm. and then just tear it off the stems and then pat it dry, and then just toss it with a little bit of olive oil, mm-hmm. a little bit of salt and pepper, mm-hmm. and stick it right in the oven. And then we have these beautiful kale chips. For some reason, I make them at home for myself, but I never can make them as well as I do in the PB&J kitchen with the kids.
Darn.
They make them much better than I do. I don't know what it is.
Now we've got this extra over here.
I know.
You gotta make
Did
that
you make
up.
Them?
That's mine.
Yeah. I don't know what it is, but they're just so good. So this class is 6 weeks throughout the course of the summer, and so once a week for 6 weeks, and it's great. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that is
really great. And then the last, we also, the City Schoolyard Garden, they do the Harvest of the Month as well, too.
Harvest of the Month,
and it's in partnership with the city schools, and then the local food hub. And so we just feel so grateful to be a part of that, where they deliver the Harvest of the Month, mm-hmm. whether or not it's arugula or spinach or apples to the kitchen. And then we have produce that we can work with the kids as well in the kitchen. And I think that's just such a great program, because the kids will see it in the schools, and then they'll see it with us and after school, and that with various other partners too. So it's just a great continuity of introducing different produce items.
And then they have it's not a contest per se, but they have some of the students do a little poster for the Harvest of the Month.
Posters are beautiful. We look forward to them. We put it right in our window. They are gorgeous.
Yeah, yeah. Jeanette Abinader showed me those posters hanging on the wall over there in their office. It was really amazing to see and say, you know, because they're tying all the whole. I had a guest, Carter Wallace, who was saying it's not what you eat, but how you eat. Mm. And it's not how you eat, it's how you know that it's all about the whole thing. It's the whole earth. It's everything. It's the whole combination. The people, the soil health, the carbon sequestration, the growing the produce. It goes on and on and on. Sort of the biodynamic theory or you know, fact.
Yeah.
How it's everything's part of a living organism. And when people realize that, you know, they have hope, they have empowerment,
yeah.
and they're less likely to be bigoted, you know, because we're all, you know, it's just really neat. So that's working with the kids, you know, and teaching them. And of course, they're working with you at the same time, you know. That's just exciting. That is so exciting. And so you also mentioned something about working in food deserts.
Yep. So PB&J. So our hope is that we will kind of focus on under-resourced communities in Charlottesville who might lack access to healthy foods.
Mm-hmm.
So through that, I think it's really kind of empowering individuals to be able to, whether or not they come to the kitchen and are able to take home a bag of food with the mm-hmm. recipe that we've just completed, or whether or not when going to grocery stores. They have greater options now that are out there. And so that is definitely a large piece of our programming, is to create access in areas that might not necessarily have access in
another
our community.
Big part of food justice.
It's a great big part of food justice. And I think that's where the network is just incredible, because it's collaboration. It's such wonderful collaboration in our community to allow for food access to be more accessible throughout.
Yeah.
So it's just it's a great group of partners.
Well, I know you were mentioning we had Jamie from Bel Air Farm here, and he was talking about the various programs they had, and lo and behold, you participated.
Yeah, I love Bel Air's. Last year, working there on the summer every Saturday throughout the summer, and then this year, I'm very grateful doing a work share. We'll all work down there about 5 or 6 Saturdays, and I love Bel Air, and they just do so much within the community with the IRC, and then I now know International Neighbors, and they're just a really terrific farm and organization. And
so you're working, actually, you know, you see the sign, "I'll work for food." So you're doing that.
I know. Personally, this is when I work for a Saturday, and I just love, it's not work to me. It's just pure fun, because I love just having my hands
in the
soil and in the dirt.
Absolutely.
And it just makes me just feel more a part of life, really.
You are. That's it. You know, getting your hands dirty. You're listening to Your Health right here on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I'm MC Blair, and we're talking with Courtney Evans from the PB&J Fund, one of the 16 organizations under the Food Justice Network umbrella. And I'll be talking a little bit about that during my two-minute drill and what you guys out there can do for the community and yourselves, which, you know, it's pretty important, I think. You mentioned that you work with the local food hub, and so what? And you've been mentioning them the whole time, and how is that? That's got to be really neat to work with those folks, because they're kind of cool. I like them.
Us too. We love the local food hub. They are just amazing. And in fact, when I meet with them, they're wonderful, and they know my desire to be outside, so we always have an outdoor meeting, which I love. But we, throughout really PB&J's history, we've worked with the local food hub in several different ways. Well, I mentioned the Fresh Pharmacy, which was a new program for us this year. Holiday giving, they supply much of our produce items. And then in the summertime, we have three programs, one of which is with the City Schoolyard Garden, the Garden to Table class. But then we also have our summer tastings, as well as our KSA program, which is the Kids Supporting Agriculture. And then also, actually, there's four, the Summer Sundown at Washington Park. But through the summer tastings, we highlight for the course of our 6 weeks during the summer a produce item, such as, I think I mentioned, the cucumbers or peppers. Mm-hmm. And then from the local food hub, we work with them to receive the produce that we then use throughout every class during the summertime. And so they are just, and again, it's to teach local and really to impart, too, so that our families and kids kind of can start understanding the growing season within our area. KSA is another big program that we do in partnership with the Boys and Girls Club.
That's the Kids Supported Agriculture.
The Kids Supported Agriculture. And so what we are doing there with the Hub and Boys and Girls Club is that we have 60 shares that have been bought by local downtown community members. And so every Thursday, the kids will come to us and they will pack 60 bags of local produce from the local food hub, and then create a recipe, whether or not it's maybe pickled cucumbers or maybe a watermelon salad, and then create little sample recipes to then place in the bag, and a recipe is included with that, and then we go out and we deliver all of those food or all those bags with little red wagons and our PB&J aprons to every person that has bought a share, and then all of the proceeds go to the Boys and Girls Club Keystone Program, which is an entrepreneurial club. And so that's just, and again, that's all local food hub produce and that they deliver to us, and beautiful, beautiful produce. So we do, and then throughout the school year as well, too, we will supplement if there's a local food product that is in season that we need, then we will go to the hub for it. And they're just great partners. I can't speak more highly.
I was going to say, because they save so much sourcing time. You know, I mean, you could call Bel Air and all these different farms. What do you got? Blah, blah, blah. And the food hub does that.
Yeah.
And that, it's essential. Those guys are essential for a local food system to work optimally.
Yeah. But
absolutely. They're just great over there. Trying to get you guys on. And I will.
They're amazing. And just so, and not only what they do, but they're just so great to work with too. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but good things from the folks that have worked with them. I had last week, I had Matt Rohde up here from Carpe Donut, and he works with the local food hub because his donuts are all organic, and you know, and which is really cool. You know,
so cool. But,
and as a matter of fact, he started a distribution company called Perfect Harmony, and it's through Amazon. So they're going to be working. He's going to coordinate it with the local farms and artisans. You know, like there's a Mad Hatter sauce, you know, those guys are in on it, and some other folks that he's been talking to. And so that would be distributed, you know, all over overnight shipping, if necessary, like the donuts or a protein, you know, if that gets shipped, then it would go overnight. And the that way it keeps the money right here in town, as opposed to giving it to some large distributor to do the same thing. Yeah. Now the money's staying in town, which of course is community
amazing.
And so important.
Amazing.
So they're doing that as well, working with the local food hub. So people can access your organization through the website, obviously, right? Yeah. PB&J Fund, and then from there there'll be phone numbers that they can call if they want to volunteer or somehow lend their service. Or just find out more about the organization.
Which is
great. I saw something the other day where 20% of baby food had unacceptable levels of lead. We're going to take a break and we're going to talk about that. This is MC Blair. We're talking to Courtney Evans of the PB&J Fund, and we will be back shortly. And we're back. This is MC Blair. I'm talking with Courtney Evans of the PB&J Fund, and she is a Culinary Institute or CIA trained chef, so she knows of what she speaks. I mentioned that lead was detected in 20% of baby food samples, which surprised even the researchers. Years ago, there was a friend of mine who had a daughter that was not gaining weight. And the doctors wanted to shoot her up with antibiotics, which, of course, make you gain weight. She did not want her daughter being pumped up full of antibiotics. And so she broke out the blender, and they were eating roast beef and you know, mashed potato roasted potatoes and broccoli and some carrots and whatnot. And she just put all that in, the little bit of meat and everything else in the blender, and blended it right up and got it pureed and fed it to her and did that. And, she's gaining weight now. Amazing, right? So talk a little bit about that, how we can isolate ourselves or cut off the main flow of like baby food, for instance.
Yeah, and I think speaking initially from a trained chef and kind of as an individual, and I think looking at the importance of whole vegetables, and how you're right, like steaming them and then putting them in a blender, whether or not it's broccoli or sweet potatoes, and there is something that's so pure about that, for sure. And then I think what I recognize, being now in the field, how time is such a huge factor in all of our lives, that it's hard to steam sweet potatoes or broccoli, and then some of us might not have blenders have the equipment. So I think what I'm learning is how then can we as a community, and how can I as a chef help to educate kind of how to create healthy diets in the framework of the life in which we're living. And so with baby food, I think that's, I had no idea actually until you told me that there was lead in baby food. And so how then, if we as a society can, one, know if we do buy baby food, know which ones are the healthiest, that do not have as many preservatives in them and do not have lead, hopefully. And then two, if through our programming at PB&J, if we are able to impart healthy eating, and if that becomes a byproduct of then having baby food and pureeing vegetables and as part of the diet, then I think that's really wonderful that we're able to impart that.
Well, they said it, that not only through contaminated soil, which, if you're listening out there, the farms that we've mentioned and many of the local farms, matter of fact, most of the local farms, they don't have contaminated soil because they don't use chemical fertilizers, and they don't use the Roundup, which of course the phosphorus fertilizers and the glyphosate in the Roundup, so they don't have that. But also, he said, not only through contaminated soil, but processing might also play a role. Oh yeah, you think? You know, so it sounded like Russian roulette, 1 in 5. I said, well, I'm not playing that game, you know. But it reduces their cognitive development, hurts their cardiovascular, it just goes on and on and on with kids, and that's why I wanted you to speak on that, because it's so important. We can make our own baby food. You know, you don't have to go out there and purchase that stuff. And like you said, some folks don't have blenders, don't have food processors. I think there's a hole there, a window to... for some organization to get in there and get those out to the people.
It's empowering, I think, too, with knowledge and education, like studies like this. I think that's great for that knowledge for all of us.
It
spurs us all on.
I know. It's something else, you know, how we can get out there and maybe help people, and you know, possibly through some of the classes that you have. With the young moms, you know. Oh, by the way, are you, you know?
Yeah, and it's great discussion and we have a registered dietitian on staff at PB&J as well too, Amy, and she's just wonderful. Mm-hmm. And so she has just this wealth of knowledge, particularly with moms with young children too, that she's able to share and impart her information that then we hope can be used at home and throughout life.
Well, and maybe through that program you can, you know, query the participating kids. You got any younger, you know, brand new brothers and sisters at home, you know, and identify that, and then and we'll get back and see, hey, what are you feeding? How are you doing with that?
And we hope that through the moms, you know, through our Chef Families programs, that if they have younger children, then maybe we actually are already teaching their older children in the classes, because it's, and so that to us would just be perfect, amazing, to include the whole family.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, that's what it's about, community, you know. I have read where a town got a big grant, and they bought property and started farms and greenhouses and all that, and actually hired the you know, kids from the town and from other places and housed them at the farm for the summer. So now you've got the summer camp kind of thing going, right? Wow. And then the ones that lived in town, obviously they would just maybe spend a couple of weeks out there for like a summer camp. But others spent like the whole planting season. They pay them a living wage, and so now you've got, you know, people in the community working for the community and giving back to the community. It's just a big circle. It was absolutely, and we can do that here. We really can. We've got the, we really do have the land. And we certainly have the expertise, people like yourselves and Farmer Todd over there at UACC, and you know, tons of, and you know, you can get the local farms to kick in a class or two and help the kids learn that. So we've got the resources, and it's just I guess it's just a matter of selling city council. I don't know how that works, you know. Gosh. I'm trying to see here. I have another thing here. And, yeah, well, that's about community farming. Create sanctuary of kindness.
Oh, right? That's important to us. Yeah.
Yeah. Turned into, it's a park is for people can come and get their hands in the soil.
Yeah.
Do something about the challenges they seize. According to co-founder and classmate Jackie Kramer, it's become an open and welcoming community where everyone is allowed to harvest the edibles and share their knowledge. Mm. And that's like what you guys are doing.
Yeah, and I think it's for us, it's sharing our knowledge, all of our knowledge. Kids, families, us, imparting it all in the kitchen together is important. Because I think food, too, just like the growing food is all about coming together. I know some of the best memories I have are sitting around the table for a meal. And I think that's also such an important piece of what we do is all coming down and sitting down at the table and talking about the meal or the day or having a discussion topic that we'll go around and ask. And so,
well, I know my wife and I we hold hands before every meal and thank the farmers by name is the word, you know, where our stuff came from, you know. And it's really neat, just it kind of focuses.
It's so true, and I think that's where the garden to table class with the City Schoolyard Garden, the kids will say how much work it is to harvest the vegetables and how hot it is outside and then to cook with them. And so I think then there becomes such too a greater appreciation for how much effort and work goes into the food that we eat. And so then when we eat it, we do just have a much larger appreciation. Not only is it coming from the earth, but the manpower that went into it to make it come to our table is also really quite remarkable.
Oh, absolutely. And it was funny because in this particular program's a permaculture project is what they called it. And local music groups came and played at the park near the garden while people were working in the garden.
Oh, wow. That would be fun. I love music. Yeah, that's cool.
You know, that might be something that
really cool.
You know, we could sort of encourage. Yeah, that's just, hey, come on and practice a few tunes, you know, right? So that was really good. You guys are listening to Your Health. I'm MC Blair, and I have Courtney Evans from PB&J Fund, and we are talking about educating children and ultimately the whole family to real food, the commitment that farmers have and the commitment that a person needs to really feel part of the whole of the community.
Yeah.
And is any other things that are on your notes that we possibly missed? Or?
Oh, it's a great question. I think I'll just say that working at PB&J and to be a part of our Charlottesville community is such an honor. And to be with families, to be with the students, to be with the incredible partners, and just to see how we can all work together and how we are all working together with ideas and through conversation has just been really wonderful. And that we have a wonderful community here in Charlottesville.
We really do. And I wanted to finish with my 2-minute drill.
Sure.
So, the 40 years from the late 50s to the late 90s was when the U.S. government started to, with the best of intentions, encourage the factory farm model through farm subsidies and tax breaks for participating farms. Now, today we're faced with the logical result of another case of changing the natural order of things. Big ag, big meat, corporate control of our food system is a recipe for disaster because the corporate model dictates profit overall, as opposed to a local farmer who practices taking care of the soil, their water use and the general health of the produce and protein products that will result in better health of the people, not only physically, but also a community with a general commitment to work together. Mm-hmm. That's what we've been talking about. This, of course, will take time. And it's already started by these great organizations of the Food Justice Network. But we here at To Your Health are committed to helping the many true food citizens like Courtney Evans and to get the word out to you, the general public, who we hope care about improving their health and life in general. The move toward local food began in the 60s, actually, with the organic food movement. Concerns about the health and environmental risks associated with the synthetic fertilizers and pesticides were not only reasons they chose to grow foods organically, it was about a commitment to treating the whole farm as a living organism, not just a profit center. Treating the workers well with a living wage and working with the community at large. Big farming corporations have gotten into the organic market, but that's not the point. To be truly healthful, food needs to be raised locally by a farmer who believes the before-mentioned principles, those of soil health, carbon sequestration, and being part of the whole. Let's do this, listeners. Let's research how to become involved. Look up the Food Justice Network and decide which of the many participating organizations like the PB&J Fund that you can donate to or volunteer for. You'll be rewarded in ways yet unimagined. I want to thank Courtney Evans of the PB&J Fund. Thank you, Courtney.
Oh, thank you so much.
It's been good, you know. And I want to thank all of you who download our show. I hope something you hear sparks a desire to know more. And remember, participating in community activities, treating your bodies with care, and eating real foods are keys to your health.
You've been listening to Your Health with your host, MC Blair. To Your Health is brought to you by Hamilton's at First and Main, celebrating 20 years of sustainable fine dining on the downtown mall. Be listening again next Saturday at 11 for To Your Health. The show is produced by Ben Chambers, production assistance from Mike Friend.